Many of my saints lived in darkness. I had to ask Larry when I was given the invitation to do this, exactly what did it mean to be a saint? What were the qualifying factors, like St. Peter, St. John, St. Paul? And then as a son, I said, how can I go and talk in front of the congregation, in front of my friends and family, without saying my parents are my saints? So it's a hard task to make a distinction from one to the other when you have people who are close to you who are saintly, and then you have other people who you never had the opportunity to meet in person who have guided you in a significant way to help you become who you are today. So, as Larry told me, a saint is defined for this purpose, as someone who has had a significant impact on your faith journey, growth, and development. Thus, whether the person qualifies as a saint is left up to you in this case. So, I was asked a while ago if I was going to talk about my parents as my saints. And I said, well, first of all, how much time do I have? 5 minutes? What's my time limit? Because I'll run long, believe it. I was asked if I was going to talk about my parents. And I said, my spiritual journey and growth and development has been maybe unique for most. I was somewhat separated from my parents at around the age of 15 years old. So while they modeled things for me as an adolescent, as I grew into adulthood, they weren't there as I removed myself from my household. So I can only describe them today as my partners. I necessarily don't walk in their feet, their footsteps lay before me. However, I've gleaned so much from them. As the word says, train up a child when he's young in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So today I walk with my parents, and hopefully one day I'll be able to honor them as saintly. However, the saint I've chose is a saint who's already passed. There were a number of people who I thought about who had a significant impact on my spiritual journey and my growth and development, all which happened in a place of darkness. I grew up in solitary confinement for 6 years, and that's where my spiritual journey and growth and development occurred. So when I think about people who would be saintly to me, I think about Joseph and Jeremiah and Paul and Silas and Peter and John and Paul. But we know about all these people because we talk about them so frequently. And then when I think about people who are a little closer to my era, I think about people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer suffered and died in a prison cell. He gave himself over to death so that the life of Christ might be manifested to him throughout the entire nation of Germany as he stood against Adolf Hitler's evil regime. Then I think about people like Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela, who both sat in prison cells and were given the discernment and the way, led by the Spirit, to overthrow colonization in their country and the oppression of their people. And then the most important figure who sticks out to me is Mother Teresa, or Saint Teresa of Calcutta. And what brought me close to her was while I was taking Calvin Theological Seminary course in prison, was we had the opportunity to read a Time magazine article about her. And there was something that really struck a chord with me. And while she suffered with the sick, the poor, and the naked, the homeless, and the hungry and thirsty, she did all this while she experienced times that she described as suffering that loneliness, that sense of being unloved, unwanted in her relationship with Jesus. I think at some point in life, it's healthy for us all to suffer in that way. So these are all people who came to mind when I thought about who would be my saint. So my parents made it somewhat easy for me when they named me in the middle name Luther. Dr. Martin Luther King would be my saint. And as we sing the hymn and think about the pearly gates and being able to see the path that you've laid but not see it completed as Moses and Joshua, I would love to be able to walk into the footsteps of Dr. King and continue to usher in the era of equality and human rights. So this is a great privilege to be named after such a kingly person, and it's also a great burden. So while I consider this, I know that God exposed me to him in a certain way throughout my life, that as I was in darkness, he developed me to become who I am today, that I might work to advocate for people who have been rescued from human trafficking, for those who sit in prisons in solitary confinement, for those who suffered at the hands of other people, and those who've experienced trauma that they don't know how to overcome on their own. Dr. King showed me what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. In overcoming obstacles, he applied himself to the study of Scripture. He submitted himself to God's will for his life. He took to heart those words written in Micah, which instructed him to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before his Lord. And he made the word manifest when he remembered those who were living under oppression and in jails and became willing to suffer in chains beside them. So today I identify most with Dr. King when he sat in the county jail in Birmingham and he had expectations. I also have high expectations of the church. And he expected that the church would come out of their homes and out of their temples and condemn the injustice. And to his disappointment, he was criticized by his colleagues and left to suffer in jail on his own. And so that's where the words come from: injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So the life of Jesus, manifest through Dr. Martin Luther King's work of faith and action, have shaped my belief in God, my submission to Jesus, and my passion to speak up for those whose voices have gone unheard, and to open doors for those who have been shut. So with pride, I can testify, as Dr. King wrote a letter of disappointment to the Birmingham clergy, I can say that my letters have been of much avail, in the sense that in 2006, I wrote a letter to this church and I asked if you would form a partnership with the church in prison, and Prisoners in Christ was born. I can also say with pride that in 2011, writing a letter to Calvin Theological Seminary turned into what we now know as Calvin Prison Initiative. So I can say that my community has responded, unfortunately, in a way that Dr. King's did not. So while a great and effectual door has been opened, let's not forget that there's many adversaries. And we understand that systemic racism still exists, that classism and poverty all still exist, and that many people still suffer, while those who've gone before us are able to enjoy glory, there are many people here who are still been shaped and formed in the likeness and image of God, who he would like to experience heaven on earth. So as I said, I can go long. I'll end with this thought. It's my prayer that God would bend every knee and break every heart for the sick, the hungry, the thirsty, and those without clothing or a home, and those who suffer from the effects of crime and punishment and the trauma which so many are exposed to in their lives. And I pray that in the spirit of Dr. King, that our steps would be made in the cadence to the beating of the drums of justice, mercy, humility, and equity for all those who have been made and shaped in his likeness and image.